Today's shiur is Masechta Bava Kamma, Daf Tezvav, and we will begin on Daf Yud Dalet Amud Beis, five lines from the bottom, with the words Al Pi Eidim. As we had learned in the previous shiur, the Mishnah, on top of this Amud, mentioned quite a number of phrases. They were quite ambiguous to understand what the Mishnah meant to mean. And the Gemara continues analyzing and trying to explain these statements. The next statement that we're going to analyze is the words Al Pi Eidim, that testimony that there was a hezek has to be done with Eidim. What does the Mishnah want to teach us with this? It says the Gemara, Prat l'mayt of a knas v'ach kach bo Eidim. Certain circumstances, as we will learn later in our shir, Mitzvah Shem today, are considered knas. The obligation to pay is a knas, is a fine. And we know the halacha is the moideh b'knas potter. The classical example is that if somebody stole something for someone else, that the Torah obligates one to pay kafel under those circumstances. And here the halacha is, if prior to witnesses coming and testifying that someone, Reuven, stole from Shimon and therefore is obligated to pay kafel, Reuven admits on his own that he stole, the halacha is that he doesn't have to pay the knas. He doesn't have to pay the kafel. That din is a din midaraisa with which there is no disagreement. However, there is another halacha. The halacha is that what will be the din if someone was moideh b'knas and afterwards Eidim came and testified that he stole? So the question is, we don't anymore require his haidah. We don't require his admission anymore, for now we know it independently through the Eidim. Is it considered a situation of moideh b'knas or not? Teaches us our Gemara that our Mishnah is teaching us that such a situation is considered moideh b'knas and he would not have to pay the fine. There's a machloikis why moideh b'knas. The Chronim discuss why is indeed the halacha the moideh b'knas v'ach kach bo Eidim. Why would it be potter or chayiv? The man the Amid that holds that it's potter, that holds it's entirely exempt, says that moideh b'knas is to be understood as a ptur, as an exemption. If someone was moideh b'knas, the Torah exempted it from paying the fine. And therefore, no matter what happens afterwards, doesn't change that situation. However, the other mandama holds that moideh b'knas means that Bezdin cannot obligate someone to pay a knas if their knowledge of this event comes from the admission of the perpetrator of the cause that would create the knas. But once we know about it without him, so then Bezdin can obligate him. And as the Nesivos in Ketzayis go on to explain, certainly if someone came to a Bezdin and was moideh b'knas, that Bezdin can no longer obligate him to pay a knas. It's certainly a situation of moideh b'knas. The question will be, what is going to be the status in another Bezdin? Is it considered a complete exemption that no Bezdin can anymore obligate him to pay a knas? Or could another Bezdin obligate him? Which of course leads us to point out that the din of moideh b'knas, potter, is only in Bezdin. That the person who says that he did something has to make that haidah in Bezdin. In fact, the Pais can point out that were someone to make this admission in front of two Eidim, and then those two Eidim go and report what they heard in Bezdin, that still will not be considered a situation of moideh b'knas. Moideh b'knas is only in a situation where he, the person himself, who would have been obligated to pay the knas, himself comes to Bezdin and makes the admission. In fact, there's an interesting shaila in the Paiskin. If the haidah didn't involve the actual knas. Rather, the hoidah referred to the action, to the keren, where a person came in, going back to the example we began our shiur with, where a person came and made an admission in Beis Din that he stole. He didn't speak about the knas. But of course, by saying that he stole, normally he would be mechuyev knas. Is that considered a situation of moed b'knas? It's a shayla machloikis amongst the achroim. The mefarshim go on to explain. We can now understand a pasuk in the Torah that Rashi himself, when we learned Chumash, is troubled with this pasuk. After Adam HaRishon ate from the Eitz Hadas, HaKadosh Baruch Hu asks Adam HaRishon, HaMina Eitz, Asher Tzivisicha, from the tree that I told you not to eat, did you eat? And Rashi and all the Rishonim are all puzzled. Of course HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows that Adam HaRishon ate from the Eitz Hadas. Why is it being asked to him as a question? Explained the Mefarshim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with his great Rachmanis, wanted Adam HaRishon to fall into the category of a Moed B'Knas. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu were to confront Adam HaRishon and definitively say, you ate from the Eitz Hadas, if afterwards Adam HaRishon will admit to it, it will not be a situation of Moed B'Knas, and he will have to receive the punishment of death that Hashem decreed on him if he eats from the Eitz Hadas. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted him to admit on his own that he ate from the Eitz Hadas, and therefore he will be a Moed B'Knas, and once he's a Moed B'Knas, he's not obligated to get the punishment. In fact, many Svarim indicate that this is the reason why there's a minig, particularly among those that daven Nusach Svard, that when we say Tachnun, we say Vidui, Sham Begadnu, every day. The reason is because by saying Vidui, we become a Moed B'Knas, and our Gemara just taught us that a Moed B'Knas is Potter. The Paiskim point out, in our society this is not so common, but certainly in earlier times, the power of the community, of the Jewish community, was quite strong, and they were able to levy fines, levy knosses. Obviously, they're not knosses midaraisa, they're knosses midrabanan. And the question is, does the din of moed b'knas apply by knas drabanan also? Says the Shach, that just like we find that moed b'knas applies to knas daraisa, so too does it apply by knas drabanan. However, the Shach's Tshuvas Shivas Tzion discusses an interesting situation. He says there was a person who flagrantly, constantly violated one of the takanas, one of the rules of the community. However, he was enough of a Talmud Chacham that before he was caught and be obligated to pay the fine, he would be Moed B'Knas. He would quickly admit that he did so and therefore exempt himself from the Knas. But by doing this, he completely created a situation where the rule of the community was being violated. Can the community obligate him to pay the knas, even though he was a moed b'knas? And he suggests that if it happens on a constant basis, the community has the ability to obligate him to pay the knas, even though it's a situation of moed b'knas. So, says our Gemara, that when the Mishnah used the words api edim, it's coming to teach us the halacha, that moed b'knas, v'akach bo edim shupater, he remains potter from paying the knas because he was a moed b'knas. And as the Rishonim point out, why don't we say that our Mishnah has come to teach us the basic rule that moed b'knas is potter? So they explain that rule of moed b'knas potter is a rule that we already learned, that we're going to learn in an explicit Mishnah Mitzvashem later in the Masechta. So that can't be what the Mishnah is talking about. It must be that the Mishnah is talking about the case of moed b'knas. However, asked the Gemara, "Hanich lemand Amar moed b'knas v'achkach bo edim potter." According to the Mand Amar, that indeed such a case, he remains exempt from the knas. That's what we could say our Mishnah is teaching us. However, el lemand Amar moed b'knas v'achkach bo edim. As we explained earlier, there is an opinion that even if someone is Moed B'Knas, but if afterwards Adam come, he remains Chayiv, Ma'ikal Meimer. So back to where we started, what does the Mishnah mean to teach us with these words, Api Adam? Answers the Gemara, Sakadat Chamin, Seif Estrichalei. It's come to teach us the other din. The din, the B'nai Chayrim or B'nai Bris, that who can be qualified to say Adis regarding the situation of Hezek? Free people and people who are members of the Jewish community. B'nai Chayrim, the Mut Avadim, that Avadim are not qualified to say testimony. B'nai Bris, the Mut Avadim, the Koven, the Goyim can't say testimony. And the Rishonim point out, why would we need a pasuk that these people are disqualified? Of course they're disqualified. They're never kosher for Edus. So I saw two pshatim. The Rambam learns, because typically situations of damage take place in not in the middle of the city, not in the middle of the Beis HaMedrash, where Talmid HaChachamim, where Bnei Yisrael are. They typically take place in an area where you only will find Avodim or Ibdi Chachamim. And therefore one would perhaps think that that's the only way that this testimony can be gathered, by relying on such individuals. Teaches us the Mishnah that since certainly it's not going to have to be that way, they can be qualified to say Edus. They cannot be qualified to say Edus. And in fact, based on this approach, the Rama Paskins, that a Jew can, that in a case where we only could find a person who's typically disqualified to say Edus, to be able to say Edus in this situation, we accept their Edus. For example, the case that the Rama discusses, where something came up in the Ezra Snoshim. In the Ezra Snoshim, we're only going to find women. So even though, as we know, and we're going to discuss it soon in more length, that women are disqualified to say Edus, here, says the Rama, the only people you'll find in the Ezra Snoshim are women, and we would accept the testimony of a woman. Another shot why we need to teach us that these people should be disqualified, why would we think that there is a Havamina that they can't say Edus, says the Rosh. At the end of the day, someone got damaged, and we would think that in order to get this person who was damaged compensated, we should accept the testimony of anyone. That's why we need the Lima to teach us that we don't accept the testimony of Avada of the Kechavim. But now the question is, why do we need a pasuk both for Eved and Oved Kechavim? V'tzricha. Diashmin Eved v'shem dein l'yachas. As we learned in the Anthem of Masechet Kedushin, Eved Kenani has absolutely no yichus. His child is not considered his under any circumstances. Ava nochri, the Yesh L'Yachas, regarding certain circumstances, a goy's child is considered his child. Emeloi, maybe he could be accepted as a witness. So the Mefarshim asked, what does Yichus have to do with Edus? They would say that because somebody does or doesn't have Yichus, that should create a situation that he's accepted. Say to Mefarshim, since we know the Pasuk says, L'yumsu bonim al-avos, v'avos l'yumsu api bonim, so we see that the Torah does connect the issue of yichus between parents and children, and that's why they can't say edus for each other. So maybe that should have an effect, or should be something to be considered as far as edus is concerned. V'yashmin nachri, and if we only said that a nachri was disqualified, shundu l'shayach mitzvahs, he absolutely has no obligation to do any mitzvahs. Aval eved shayach mitzvahs, eved knani is obligated in mitzvahs as much as a woman is obligated in the mitzvah. Emeloi, I should say, he's not excluded from being an aid. Tzricha, that's what we need a Mishnah to discuss, both Eved Kechavim and Eved. We continue learning in the Mishnah, V'adnashim b'chal nezik. The halachas of nezakim also apply to women. Ask the Ramanan immediately. Amar Yehuda Marav, the Kain Tana de Beir Rishmol, Amar Kro, Isha Isha Kiyasim Kol Chatos, the Torah equates them as far as all anshim are concerned, that applies to both of them.
The Rebbe Lazar Tama, Ve'ele Mishpatim Mishatasim Ufneim, Hishva Kosev Ishel Ish, V'chal Dinish V'tayra. As far as all Dinim Mamnis are concerned, men and women are considered equal. Although Tosfos points out that the Pasuk Ashatasim Ufneim doesn't strictly speak to the halacha of Eidus, actually it speaks to the halacha of Dayanim, says Tosfos that this, the din of Dayanis that travels, that a kosher aid could be a kosher dayan, and a kosher dayan could be a kosher aid, that they travel together, is only said by men. By women, it's a different, that's not what the pasuk is referring to. Women are not qualified not to be witnesses, certainly not to be dayanim, but what they are, but the dine mominis apply to men and women equally. Even though Tosfos and the Rishonim ask, if indeed the halacha is that a woman cannot be a dayan, why do we find that Dovora was a shefetes, was one of the shoftim, was one of the judges? So there are a number of terutzim given. Tosfos teretz is that since both parties that approached Dovora for the entire accepted her psak, were ready to accept the psak, therefore the Torah teaches us that therefore she could have served as a judge. Although the Mefarshim point out that even in a situation where both sides are willing to accept a woman or someone who's not an expert as a dayan, it's only by dinei mamonis that that would be acceptable. However, by dinei nefashos, just because both parties agree to accept the psak of a woman, she could not be qualified to be a dayan. Another pshat that the Rishonim suggest is that what she actually wasn't a shefetes, she wasn't a dayan, rather what she was a mayra hira, so to speak. She paskin, she was able to issue rulings on subjects she was expert on. In fact, the Shari Tshuva says that in his family, many times, again, not that common in our world, if questions came up regarding the kashrus of a chicken, of a piece of meat, that one needed to be an expert to detect if there was a treifas here or not, many times he would ask the women of his family, for they were bigger experts. So here too, Devorah was an expert in certain fields of halacha, and she therefore could issue rulings. Another pshat that the Rishonim suggests was shefetes doesn't mean that she was actually a dayan, but what shefetes means was that she was a manhiga, she was a leader of Klal Yisrael, to which the Paiskim also discuss what does that mean. It doesn't mean that she had a rabbonus, that she could have been identified as a rav. The halacha is a woman cannot be accepted to be the rabbi of a congregation. She can't have any srora, any title of leadership. It was just something, again, that she was a leader amongst Klal Yisrael. In fact, there's a machloikus apaiskim, if a woman could be accepted to be a mashgicha for kashrus. The Mishnah Halacha says that she cannot be appointed. The Moshe says, he doesn't say l'chatchila, but he says b'dieved certainly she can be accepted, and it goes back to a concept that we've discussed already, because it's really not that she is giving the hechsher, it's not that she has here a srora that she's giving hashgachas, she's only acting as the eyes and the ears of the rav or the agency whom she is representing. A third source regarding women is the Beichiski Rabbi Yosef Glilatana Amakra Fahemus Isha Isha Hishva Kosim Isha Lish Lachamis Shiva Torah. The Torah connects them whether the victim was a man or a woman, there's an obligation. B'tzricha. So the question is, why do we need three psukim to teach us the exact same concept? The Yashmin Kamaisa, if we only had the first pasuk that a woman, just like a man, brings a carbon if they did an aveira, hasmu the chas rachman Allah. That's where the Torah had rachmanis on the woman. Kech de havelei kapara. In order that she should have a kapara, so the Torah says that she could bring a carbon. Says, ask Tosfos, why don't we say that she shouldn't have a kapara because she doesn't have an einish? She shouldn't have to bring a kapara because she wouldn't even have an einish. So she wouldn't be obligated, she wouldn't be subject to any punishment. So answers Tosfos that there are certainly circumstances the Torah teaches us clearly that women are subject to punishments. In the parasha of Arayis, the Torah clearly identifies that a woman is also obligated. So we can't follow that line of reasoning. Aval dinam, but regarding dinam mamonis, we would perhaps suggest ish tabar masu matan in, only a man who engages in business, he's subject to these halachas. Ish aloy, but not a woman. Bish, I mean in dinam, if we would only teach us that dinam mamonis apply to men and women equally, kech devilecha yusuf. If women would be exempt from dinim mamnis, no one would ever want to do business with a woman, because you can never take her to a din Torah, and it would become impossible for women to have any way of sustaining themselves. Aba kapari ishta ba mitzvahin. Maybe only a man who's obligated in all mitzvahs is going to be given the opportunity to get a kapara. Isha de la bas mitzvah, a woman who's exempt from mitzvah sasashas magrom aloi, should not be able to receive kapara. That's why we need a pasuk both for kabbonis, that women are obligated, and that women are obligated in dinim mamnis. V'yashmin hani tarti, if we had only learned these two cases, hakam shum kapara, here because we want to give the woman the opportunity to get a kapara, v'hakam shum chiyusa, here we want to give a woman an opportunity to be able to sustain herself. Aval inyan katala, regarding a victim of being killed, I would say only ish the bar mitzvah, a man who's obligated in all mitzvahs, l'shalem kaifer. If an axe kills a man, he has to pay kaifer. Isha, but a woman who's not obligated in all mitzvahs, loy, the din of kaifer ought not to apply. V'yashmin and kaifer. And on the other hand, if we only had taught the halacha that both when a man or a woman are killed, there's an obligation to pay kaifer, mishum v'ikki v'neshama. At the end of the day, if somebody was killed, it makes no difference if it was a man or a woman who was killed. Kaifer has to be paid. Aval hanitarti, the other two situations which aren't so serious, no one was killed. Lek ebin neshama, emaloi, women should not be treated as men. Smicha, that's why we have to have all three psukim. The Rishonim point out that actually the Gemara, even though it says we cannot learn one case from the other case, could have perhaps suggested that we should only have two of the psukim mentioned, and that should be enough to create a situation of a tzad hashava, and we can learn the third case. So why do we need all three psukim? So Rishonim say a very interesting teretz. Just like we find throughout Shas the concept of milsa de asi b'kal v'choymer, tarf v'kos v'lakro, even though we could have learned something from a kal v'choymer, the Torah goes out of its way to mention it. Similarly, say the Rishonim, is the even though we could have learned one of these halachas through a tzad hashava from the two other halachas, milsa da asi with tzad hashava, something that could be learned with tzad hashava, sometimes Torah for Kosov Lakra, the Torah goes out of its way to mention it explicitly. The Sefer Panim Yochis uses our Gemara to explain a pasuk in the Torah. The Torah speaks about kinotsu anoshim yachtav, when people enter into battle, the karve eshes echav, Lahatzos Ishim Yan Makeyu, the Shoch Yoda Vikzika Vimuvushosa, Vimuvushov, Vikatsoitzes Kappa, Vesochus Eincha. Which, this is the pasuk that teaches us that Locha Boishes, that if somebody causes, humiliates someone else, he's obligated to pay Boishes. And the Panim Yochis asks, why does the Torah, when it wants to teach us the obligation to pay Boishes, teaches us regarding a woman doing the Boishes? Why? When just like all other dinim of Nezikim, the Torah expresses regarding men, shouldn't the Torah express this din also regarding men? So he answers, if we'll look into the payment for boishes, it doesn't fall into any of the categories that we've just discussed. It's not a situation of a kapara. Paying boishes doesn't bring a kapara. You have to ask mechila. If I humiliated you, even if I paid boishes, I still have to ask mechila. It's not a situation of chiyusa, it's not a basic din of mamonis, and no one was killed. So perhaps a woman should be exempt from the din of boishes. It doesn't fall under any of the three categories that our Gemara just identified apply to women also. That's why the Torah had to go out of its way, says the Panim Yochis, to teach us the din of boishes by a woman, to say that women are also included in the category of boishes. The next case of the Mishnah was The next wording in the Mishnah was Hanizik v'amazik v'teshlumin. Again, sort of an ambiguous statement that we need to try to understand. So the Gemara attempts to explain this statement by quoting a very fundamental machlokes. As we have been learning, Karen pays chatzi nezek by a tam. And the question is, that chatzi nezek payment, how do we view it? Itma, palga neska, the chatzi nezek payment. Rapapa mamoina, it should be viewed as a compensation payment. Rafuna b'reidu shuhama, it's considered knas. What is the basis of this machlokes? Rapapa mamoina, it's considered compensation. For he holds kusavastam shvarim la b'cheskeshim kainim. You can't, every shor is not considered guarded unless you adequately watch it. And therefore, if even a tam did damage, ubedinhu, the boy was kumakule. He ought to pay nezik shalom. It's just rachmona de chasale, the Torah had rachmonis, the katilo yad ture, since the animal is not yet a mu'ud, and he only pays chatzi nezik. Rav Huna b'reidu v'shua oma, knos, it's considered a knas. Because he holds k'savastam shorim b'cheski shimukami. We can't assume that his shor is not going to do damage. And therefore, if it did damage, it's considered a totally unusual situation that the owner should not be held responsible. But then who the loyal shalom cloud, the owner should not have to pay at all. Just Rachman, who the can't say, the Torah obligated him to pay knas, keichadim turei turei, that he ought to protect his shor from doing anything. And as the Rishonim point out, and will become evident in our Gemara, what is the nafkamina if it's knas or mamon? It goes back to what we discussed at the beginning of the shir, the din of moida b'knas. If we're going to say it's a knas, so if the mazik is moida, it'll be potter. Moida b'knas is potter. If on the other hand it's mamon, there is no din of moida b'mamon is potter. The farshim also are troubled. How can we have here, it seems, a machloikis imitzias in reality? Is a shor considered somebody, something that requires guarding or doesn't require guarding? Is it prone to do damage or not? How could we have such a machlokes? So one approach I saw in the Mefarshim, very interesting approach, is that everybody agrees that a shor needs to be guarded. But as we have found in many of the areas, in many of the different mazikim that we've learned, the Torah gave certain leniencies. The halacha we just learned in the previous year is that shem v'regel is part of b'rishus harabim. Bor is not chayiv for adam v'kelim. Eish is potter with tamun. Another leniency, so every type of mazik, the Torah instituted some sort of a leniency. Here too, the Torah instituted a leniency that they're not chayiv nezik sholem until the animal is a mu'ud. Another approach is as follows. Certainly an animal, until it did damage, everybody agrees, is not considered something that we have to be concerned of. An animal that never did damage, there's no reason to assume it's going to do damage. The question comes up here when it is, the machlokes here is, that the animal we see did do damage. We do have a situation that the animal did damage. The man, the omer that holds its mammon, says the fact that we see that this animal did damage is the greatest indication that you have to watch the animal. And if you didn't watch the animal, you're responsible. The other man says, it's an abnormal situation that I did not have to be concerned about. So the Gemara wants to say that our Mishnah should be a raya, because the Mishnah says, Tanan, Hanizik v'amazik b'tashlumin. Bishlam l'andam apalganis, the Mishnah said that Nizik and the Mazik both participate in the payment. Says the Gemara, Bishlam l'andam apalganis, according to Mandam that says Chatzi Nezik is considered mumin. Hani the Shach Nizik b'tashlumin. We could understand the wording of the Mishnah. What the Mishnah is teaching us is that the Nizik should have really been entitled to full compensation, yet the Torah gives him only half Chatzi Nezik, so he is a participant and paying for the Hezik by only getting Chatzi Nezik. However, asked the Gemara, El Manda Omer, Palganiska Knosso, according to the Manda Omer that says Palganiska Chatzi Nezik is a Knas, so really, he's not entitled to anything. Hashtag Lav the Day Shlokal. Whatever he gets is really something more than what he's really entitled to. So how can we say betashlumim? How can we say that he's considered a participant in paying the tashlumim? He didn't do anything. So ask the Rishonim, why do we say that the Mishnah means the case of chatzi nezek tsuroiris? That we learned, everybody agrees that chatzi nezek that's paid by tsuroiris is mammon. And that's what the Mishnah refers to. So I saw two tirutz. One tirutz says that it's difficult to explain that our Mishnah is referring to chatzi nezek tsuroiris when that entire halacha of chatzi nezek tsuroiris we have not really been exposed to, we really haven't learned yet. Another explanation is that nizik v'mazik v'tashlumim is to be understood as follows. That sometimes the nizik participates and sometimes he doesn't participate. Which means that by chatzi nezik he participates and by nezik shalom he doesn't have to participate. However, the halacha of chatzi nezik tsroiris doesn't make a difference if it's a tam or a mu'ud. So it's always that the nizik is participating. So that can't be what the Mishnah is referring to. It says the Gemara Leinitzucha, what it means to say that the nizik is participating, el pchas nevela. We know that halach is that if the shor of the mazik does damage to the shor of the nizik, we view the value of the shor of the nizik at the moment of damage. And that much is deducted from what the mazik has to pay the nizik. If afterwards it continues to deteriorate, that loss is to the nizik. There's a machloikis in the achronim how to understand this din. Some achronim suggest that it's considered payment, that the nizik receives the shor, his damaged shor, as payment, and that payment is given automatically when the hezek takes place. Others say that it's a special din, that this should be deducted from the chiyuv. Says the Gemara, Pchas Nevela, that the Nizik is metapel by the Nevela, and the Nizik takes that Nevela, Hatana L'Reisha. We already learned in a previous Mishnah, that says in the Mishnah, Teshlume Nizik, Melamed Shabal, metapel by Nevela. So that can't be what the Mishnah is teaching us. Answers the Gemara, we need two Mishnahs, because we need one Mishnah for Tam, and one Mechad B'mud, B'tzricha. We need to teach the Din of Baal metapel by Nevela, both by Tam and by a Mud. Why? Betzricha. Diashmin and tam. If we would only say by tam, the loch is that ba'al metapum ben avela, because mishum lakati lo yayet, the animal hasn't yet become a mu'ud, and that's why we're more lenient. Av a mu'ud, where the animal is a mu'ud, we should perhaps be stricter on the mazik, and would not say the loch of ba'al metapum ben avela, aim aloy. That's why we say that even by a mu'ud, Baal metapum ben avela. The Yashmina Mu'ud, the Shindakam Shalom Kule. Since the Mu'ud, the Mazik, is paying Nezik Shalom, that's why we'll say Baal metapum ben avela. Avotam, by a tam where only Chatzin Nezik is paid, Eimeloi, there the halacha should be that the Nezik should not be responsible. That's why Tzricha, we need both Pesukim. So the Rishonim point out that our Gemara is a very interesting situation. We have here a situation where the tam is more lenient than a mu'ud, and even though the tam is more lenient than a mu'ud, it should be treated stricter, that by a mu'ud the halach will be ba'alim metaplim b'nevela, and by a tam there will not be a halach of ba'alim metaplim b'nevela. Ask the Rishonim that this, the Shita Mekubetzes, that this destroys the entire concept of Kal V'Chomer, which we so often encounter. What does Kal V'Chomer teach us? That if the halacha is by some, that we treat a more lenient item more leniently than a chomer. Here we want to treat a cow more strict than a chomer. So the Shita answers that since the Torah mentions the halacha of Pchas Nevela L'Nizik, and all the psukim that the Torah teaches this din, a bailim, metaplim, and avela, are all mentioned by a mu'ud, so it seems to indicate that the din, a bailim, metaplim, and avela, is only a din by mu'ud, and not by tam. And therefore, even though the svara, the logic that the Gemara is trying to present now, is a very weak logic, it's a logic that we can use. So the Gemara is back to its original question. Is chatzi nezek mamon or knas? Toshma. The Mishnah says, ma betam l'mur. What's the difference between the tam and the mur? So tam mishalm chatzi nezek megufay. Tam pays chatzi nezek, and also it's only megufay. That means if the chatzi nezek payment doesn't equal, is greater than the value of the mazik, you only pay as much as the mazik is worth. A mu'ud mishalim, nezik shalim, min aliyah. Pays min aliyah, that means if the mazik is worth not as much as the hezik that was caused, you have to take money from the mazik's pocket. Ask the Gemara, then Isa, if the halacha is the chatzi nezik is knas, less than nami ha, why don't we say the nafkamina that we mentioned earlier, tan en mishalim api atzmai. A tam would be moed b'knas, and it would be potter. Mood mishalma piatzmai, but mood is mammon, and he pays a piatzmai. As is the Gemara, indeed it could be that chatzi nezek is knas. And ton of a shayr, the Mishnah didn't mention all the cases. As the Gemara, my shayr, the high shayr. We know throughout Shas, the halacha is that if we're going to say that the Tana omitted something in the Mishnah, we can't say he only omitted one case. For he wouldn't only leave out one situation. What other dinim are omitted that we could say Tana v'shayir? Answers the Gemara, shayir chatzi kofer. The halacha is that a mu'ud that kills a person, he pays kofer. A tam does not pay chatzi kofer. That's the difference between a tam and a mu'ud, that a mu'ud pays kofer and a tam doesn't pay kofer. Says the Gemara, we can't suggest that that's what's omitted. Because Hamani, we could say that the Mishnah follows the opinion of Yosef Glili, Domer, Tam Mishalim Chatzi Kofer, who holds that a Tam also pays Chatzi Kofer. So, as the Rishonim explained, it's not to say that our Mishnah must hold like Rabbi Yosef Glili. That rather what the Mara means to say, since we could, the Mishnah can be following his view, we're not forced to say that the Mishnah's list is incomplete. However, according to Rav Huna of Yeshua, who holds a chatzi nezek is a knas, will not hold like Rav Yosef Aglili. He will hold that chatzi nezek is a knas, and therefore he will have two halachas that were omitted. One is the halacha of moed b'knas, moed b'chatzi nezek is potter, and the other is that by tam you don't pay chatzi kofer. On the other hand, Rapapa, who holds the chatzi nezek is memoina, will hold the moed is chayiv, and will also hold that a tam perhaps pays chatzi kofer. So the Gemara tries to bring another proof to this question. Toshma, if somebody says hey, Mishari is playing, somebody comes in and admits my shar killed this person. A shari supplier who killed somebody else's axe, harayt mishalom apiatzma. Even though he admitted it, he has to pay. My love, but tam, isn't that Mishnah referring to a case of a tam? And still he has to pay. Is a raya that it's mamin, not knas? Because if it were knas, then why would he have to pay if we became aware of the situation by his own admission? Says the Gemara, loy. That Mishnah is referring to mu'ud. Mu'ud, everybody agrees that the payment of nezakim is mammon, and that's why, even if we become aware of the situation by his admission, he's obligated to pay. Aval tam, but according to this explanation, what would be the halacha by tam? Hachinami, de'ei mishalom pi'atzmai. If he admitted on his own, he would not have to pay. Ask the Gemara, mehachi, and that's the din, adatani sefer. And we continue learning that Mishnah. Whereas in the case, if somebody says, hey, Mishari is Abdur Shaplani, the halach is if somebody Shar kills someone else's Evaknani, the halach is he has to pay Shloshim Kesef, 30 shekel. It's considered a knas because you always pay the Shloshim Kesef no matter what the true value of the Evaknani is, whether he's worth more than Shloshim Kesef, whether he's worth less than Shloshim Kesef. Then, Misham Piatman, since it's a knas, you don't have to pay it. If you become aware of what happened through the Mazik's own admission. So ask the Gemara, why do we have to bring in this case, lift Mikvalistim today? When is the halacha that Hem Shari Plani? Or Shari Shaplani, you still have to play? Dafka Bemuid, Abatam, since it's a Knas, Enim Shalom Piatzmai. Since the Mishnah did not bring that in, it seems to be an indication that a Tam would also have to pay Al Piatzmai. So as much it's not a proof. Because the Mishnah wants to stick Kula Bemuid Kamayri, to stick to halachas of a mu'ud and draw a distinction between Hamish Shari Shaplani or Shari Shaplani, where there by mu'ud it's a mammon payment, it's a compensation payment, and that's why Mishalim Apiatzmai versus this case, which is a knas payment even by mu'ud and Ein Mishalim Apiatzmai. Toshma. The Mishnah says that klal. Call Mishalim Yosef Mashahizik. If somebody pays more than the damage he did, it's a clear indication that this is a situation of knas, and therefore a mishalm piatzma. He doesn't pay if he becomes obligated through his own admission. My love, isn't this mishnah by using these words an indication? Hapachs v'masha hizik, that if you're paying less than the damage you did, chatzin nezik, mishalim, you would pay even al piatzma. Isn't this a clear indication that chatzin nezik is considered mamon, not knas?
Lot.
Says the Gemara, what the Mishnah means to say is Hakamish Ezek, that when you pay equal to the damage you've done, so there it's certainly a compensation payment, and Mishalim you pay even up the Atzma. Avo Pachas Mai, what would be the halacha if it's a case that you have to pay less than the damage you did? Hakanami, we're suggesting now, the Loi Mishalim. Then you don't pay up the Atzma, you don't pay through your own admission. Ihachi, ask the Gemara, if that's the case, Adatani Verklav. Instead of the Mishnah using the word call him Mishalim Yosef Masha Hizik and Mishalim Piatzmai, that if you pay more than the damage you did, it's an indication that it's a knas and you don't have to pay through your own admission. Listen, what does the Mishnah say? Zeklav call she ain't Mishalim Kamasha Hizik. If you don't pay exactly as much as you did damage, whether you're paying the Mashma Pachas Mashma Yosef, whether you're paying less than the damage like Chatzin Nezik, or you're paying more like Shloshim She'evit, you don't have to pay if you become aware of it through your admission. The fact that the Mishnah doesn't use those wording seems to be an indication that Chatzi Nezek is mum. And to Yufta, and it's therefore the opinion that holds a Chatzi Nezek is Knas, seems to be refuted. However, says the Gemara, V'hilchsa d'aloch is the Palganiska Knas. Ask the Gemara, we have here a very interesting situation. To Yufta, on one hand, we, through the Mishnah's wording, refuted the opinion that Chatzin Nezek is Knas, yet we're paskening the Vilchasa that Chatzin Nezek is Knas. In, says the Gemara, it's fine. Tam Mayav to Yufta, why do we refute the opinion that Chatzin Nezek Knas? Because, as the Gemara just taught us, Mishum de Lo Ketani Kamash Yezek, if indeed the halacha were the Chatzin Nezek is Knas, as we said, the Mishnah should have said, Hazak Klal, Kosh and Mishalim Kamar Shehizik. Says the Gemara, the Mishnah cannot have used those words. Loi Psikalei, the Mishnah cannot use those words. Kivin the Ikin Chatzin Nezik Tzroiris. As we mentioned earlier in our Shir, the case of Tzroiris, where the damage wasn't done directly by the animal, just the case of Tzroiris always means the pebbles flew from the animal's feet and did damage. That everybody agrees that even though you only pay chatzi knas, it's mamon, it's considered compensation, not knas. So if we would have said this rule, that whenever you pay, which would indicate wherever you pay more or less than the damage, it's considered a situation of knas and is subject to the rule of maida b'knas is potter. But that's not true, because we have a case of chatzi nezek tzroiris where you're paying less than the damage that you did, and yet it's considered a situation of mammon. That's why the Mishnah Shemach Laktani didn't use those words, that wording. But indeed, the halacha could be the chatzi nezek is knas. Now says the Gemara, the hashtag the amid palganiska tenasa. Now that we establish the chatzi nezek is knas, says the Gemara, hai kal b'da'achi imri. In the case of a dog that killed and ate sheep, or of a shunra da'achla tanagoyla, or a cat that killed and ate a chicken, mishunahu, it's considered unusual damage. And any time which is unusual is under the category of Karen, belong Miminim above, and cannot be collected above. For as we explained in the previous year, Knas, the Tyrus, cannot be done in Bavel, and since the Knas den Tyrus cannot be done in Bavel, therefore we can't collect such a damage in Bavel. And Tysus goes on to say that according to the Manda Omer, the Palganisk is Mimoina, then it would be even, you can never collect it, even in Etz Yisrael, because you can't consider it a told of Karen, because Karen Urchehu, this is Mishunah, and therefore he will be totally exempt even at Yisrael. However, Hanimili Biravarvi, this only applies by large sheep or chickens that were attacked by a dog or cat. Av Gazutri, by small animals, Urchehu, and it's a situation of Mammon, which can be collected in Bavel. Vitofis continues the Mishnah to teach us, if the Nizik seized property from the owner of the dog or the cat, like Mafkinimenei, we don't take it away from him. However, we have a very fundamental machloikus rush and taisus how to apply this halacha of tfisa. The taisus quotes the opinion of Rabbeinu Tam that says that tfisa will only help if one seizes the actual animal which caused the damage, and also it only can be done, according to taisus, it could only be done that it has to be seized before we came to Bezdin. According to the Rosh, however, you could seize not strictly the item that did the damage. You could seize even the item, any item, and also Machloikus Rabbeinu Tam and Rosh, is if you could seize the item if it's worth more than the damage it was done. According to the Rosh, you may. According to Rabbeinu Tam, you cannot. And as Mefarshim explained, the Machloikus of Rosh and Rabbeinu Tam is based on how do we look at the halacha of Tfisa. Rosh says that Tfisa is a right that's granted to the Nizik Midoraisa, and therefore it gives him broad abilities. According to Rabbeinu Tam, it's not a right that was granted Midoraisa, and therefore his abilities are more limited. Continues the Gemara, if the Nizik tells the Mazik, Vamla Kovali Zimna Das Lina Larad Yisrael, let's make a time that we'll have the Dintar in Yisrael, where Dine Knossos can be held, Kavinale. We set a date for him. Viloi Ozel, Mesham Tinale. And if he refuses to go, we put a Chayim on the person, the Mazik who refuses to go. Or Benkach and Benkach, whether he agrees to go to Yisrael or not, Mesham Tinale, we put the Mazik into Chayim, until he removes the mazik from his property, with Rav Nosson, as Rav Nosson taught us, Tanya Rav Nosson, Omer, Menayin Shlei Gadol Odom Kalav Rabbetach Beisoy. How do we know the person shouldn't have a wild dog in his home? Vayam Tzul Meruah Betach Beisoy. He shouldn't have a ladder that's broken in his property. Tamaloyma Lesosim Damim Beisecha. You have to be careful not to have any of these items in your possession. And therefore, by having such a dog that they are damaged, you are obligated. There's a machloikus rishonim. To what degree do we apply this din? Some say that it not only is it regarding something that could cause death, the dog that we're just talking about, and a ladder where someone could fall off, even if it could just cause hezek, just damage, where nobody will die from it, it's still included in what our Gemara refers to. Others say it's strictly to a situation where it could cause death. Interesting shayla that I saw from this Mishnah Halachas, from the Shalos HaTshuvos Mishnah Halachas. If somebody has such a wild dog in his property, is it adequate that he could just put up a sign saying that I have a wild dog, beware? Would that resolve the issue of Leisosim Damim Beisechem? So he says that it would not be adequate. He says, even though we know that at times people have in their property medicines or different poisonous materials that they keep to trap bugs or different things, and how you let it have it in your home, because you rely on the warning label. So why here, by wild dog, can you not rely on a warning sticker, on a warning sign? So he says a very interesting approach. He says, by a medicine which a person is not supposed to take, on every such medicine, there is such a warning label. So a person, when he takes medicine, or when a person sees medicine or anything like that in the house, is accustomed to know, to look, is there a sign that one should be aware, be careful that this could be poisonous? Dogs, not all dogs are dangerous. And since not all dogs are dangerous, we don't always have a sign. So to say that by this dog, which is dangerous, I'm putting up a sign, that won't help us, because a person doesn't know to look for the sign. Says the Mishnah, Chamisha tamim v'chamisha mu'adim. There are five situations that are considered tam, and five that are considered mu'ad. Habehema ena mu'adis, a regular animal is not considered a mu'ad, loiligach, not to gore, loiligach, not to push, loiloshach, not to bite, loiliberate, not to squat, loiliberate, not to kick. Rather, it's considered a tam, and you only pay chatzi nezek. Hashem, mu'adis lechos royalai. An animal is considered a mu'ad, to eat something that's appropriate for an animal to eat. Haregel mu'ad is lishba v'darach elukar. And similarly, regel is considered a mu'ad because it's normal that an animal should trample things as it's walking. V'shar mu'ad, v'shar mazik b'shus ha'nizik, v'adam, all of these are circumstances when nezik shalom is paid. Hazeiv, a wolf, v'ari a lion, v'adoiv is a bear, v'anomer is a leopard, v'badalus, we'll discuss in the Gemara who the badalus is, v'nochish is a snake, Harei Elu Mu'adim are all considered animals that are mu'ad. There's no concept of tamas and mu'adis. The laws of Omer, Bizman Shevinei Tarbas, however, when they are domesticated, Eina Mu'adis, they're not considered mu'ad. However, Anochish is mu'ad l'olam, is always considered a mu'ad. There's machlokes rishonim by these animals that our Gemara just identified are always considered mu'ad. When are they always considered mu'ad? Are they always considered mu'ad when they did damage in the way they normally do damage, or they consider the mu'ad even when they did damage not in the normal way that they do damage? Some say they're only considered mu'ad when they do damage in their normal fashion. Others say that they consider mu'ad under all circumstances. The Rav Yosef Shaul Natanzon and the Shaul Tshuvas Shaul Meshiv asks, if our Gemara says that a nachash is always considered a mu'ad, why is the halacha we learned in Masecht Brachos that a filo nachish korach akvay, that even if a snake is going on someone's feet while he's davening, he shouldn't stop davening? Is according to our Mishnah that a nachish is mu'ad la'olam, isn't in a situation of sakonas nefashis? So I saw three terutzim. One terutz is somebody who's davening is in the concept of shluchei mitzvah, and shluchei mitzvah ain't in the zaykin. That's what one terutz of Yosef Shaul says. Another teretz that he says is that when our Mishnah says that a nachash is a mu'ad l'olam, it's when a nachash is going to do damage to another animal. There we say a nachash is always considered a mu'ad. But when the animal is not doing damage to another animal, rather the animal, when it's referring to a nachash doing damage to a person, there we don't say nachash mu'ad l'olam. And the third teretz that the Mefarshim suggest is as follows. When a nachash wants to do damage, it starts to hiss, and you could tell. So nachash karcha krechai, by a person, the person will be able to tell if the nachash wants to do damage to him or not do damage to him by the way it's acting. And if it's karcha krechai, it's coming close to him and doesn't seem to want to do damage, you don't have to stop davening. An animal doesn't have the intellect, the intelligence, to determine if the nachash wants to do damage to it or not. And therefore, as far as animals are concerned, nachash mu'ad lo'olam.